And a number of issues that will come up at a what's called meeting today. One of the critical issues that we engage with the Auditor General. Subsequent to that, members, I then wrote a letter to the Auditor General to raise some of the issues that we, I believe, as a chair of the committee, that that members, the Auditor General will look at. And those issues, it's a letter that I think has been distributed to members this morning. Now, we have raised those issues, but again, I've said to the general that there may be other issues that members of the committee still want to raise. But due to lack of meetings, we're not able to meet as a committee like this and engage the general and really deal with the issues that we must deal with. In between that, members, we received a letter from the Auditor General with regard to the terms of reference given to the Auditor General by the Minister of Home Affairs, Mr. Mapisa Nakula, on the investigation into the project, the Women Eye project. So this morning, members, we'll then give an opportunity to the Auditor General to take us through the processes with regard to the Whom Am I online project, as we have agreed. And the second thing that we'll deal with the annual report of the Department of Home Affairs. It's a briefing that's supposed to have taken place some time ago, during the month of September, but again, due to parliamentary program and the changing of the program, whereby only committees with legislation were only allowed to meet. We're not able to meet with the Auditor General as planned to deal with the issue of the annual report. Again, when we had to look at the issues of the annual report, it's another sorry state of affairs against the Department of Home Affairs. The Auditor General has been the public on these issues of his findings with the Department of Home Affairs. In brief, that this department, again, it has turned back to where it was before. So we'll deal with those issues later after dealing with the issues of Whom Am I Online. I'm raising this thing so that, you know, we are very much disappointed, I think, again, as a committee, that this department seems to be not going where we expected it to move. So therefore, I think in our engagement with the AG, we'll be able to find out exactly what are the challenges around this department, because we have quite capable people that are now deployed to fix the department, but it seems that the war that we must win is still going to take us some time. So on that note then, members, this morning we'll then engage with the AG on the issues that I have raised. And I would believe that after this meeting, this portfolio committee will make a recommendation based on obvious engagement that at Parliament as to what obvious should happen with the issues that we are dealing with. Tomorrow, the portfolio committee will meet again in the morning. In the morning, we'll then meet with the Department of Home Affairs around the annual report. Today, it will be just a briefing with the AG. And I want to make this appeal that we need to be frank and honest and open, because there's been a call that we must have this closed meeting, and I do not agree with that AG's office, that we have a closed meeting to deal with some of the issues. Because, you see, the issues of Home Affairs, they are in the public domain, and it's one of the departments that we are really not winning ourselves as Parliament, really, to put our foot down and things must happen as we have planned. So the request that we'll make will be the openness and the frankness based on the finding of the AG, so that we can then really engage on those issues and try find a way in which this Department of Home Affairs must be helped. If we say that Treasury must now take over and run this department, especially on the a finance section of the department, I think it will be a correct thing maybe to do. but that will be determined based on the engagement. We have been engaging with the third group of the NC at some point, and clearly that nobody is happy about the state of affairs. And then we need really to come up with a recommendation that will save this department from what it's led into. On that note, can I then give you an opportunity to introduce the delegation, yourselves, and then take us through then the issues as we have outlined this morning, that will first deal with the issue of the Whom Am I Online, and then from there we'll then get to the second agenda item, which will be the annual report of the Department of Home Affairs. On that note, you are welcome, Babu, to introduce the delegation.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to honorable members. Just at the outset, Chair, I might just say that I was asked by the corporate executive who is responsible for the Home Affairs portfolio, Ms. Lily Zondo, to stand in for her, because she's not able to be here today. And in the delegation, fortunately, I have a team of people who worked on the audit of Home Affairs this past financial year 2007-08. And I have every confidence that they have all the information that they need to share with the committee with respect to the outcome of the 2007-08 financial year audit. On my right-hand side is Ms. Margaret Sora, who is a senior manager on the Home Affairs audit. And on my left-hand side is Mr. Kivesh Lachman, who is the business executive responsible for the Home Affairs audit. He is second in charge, so to speak, to Ms. Lily Zondo. So anything that Ms. Zondo would have had to share with the committee with respect to the audit, it certainly is also known to both Ms. Soka and Mr. Lachman. So I trust that both of them will do justice to that part of the agenda. Coming to the first point, Chair, on the issue of Who Am I Online. As I said, Ms. Zondo was, and the notice for this meeting effectively was sent out on Friday, and it's very clearly stated here that the purpose of this meeting is to provide you with more information on the Who Am I Online project. That's what the notice of the meeting indicated when it was sent out. And then in that context, she asked me, since I was coming to Cape Town, to stand in for her because there was going to be information provided to us on the Who Am I Online according to the request for the meeting, the notice of the meeting. So we understood this meeting to be, so far as the Who Am I Online, to be focused on providing us with more information on the Who Am I Online. But we felt that because we got it as written like this, we might as well prepare ourselves for in the event that we have to deal with the questions around where are we on the Who Am I Online. So we've kind of prepared ourselves to deal with that aspect of the Who Am I Online, to give you a progress, a state of progress report, as it were, on how far the investigation on Who Am I Online is. And I'm probably going to deal with that aspect of it, because Ms. Zondo, as I indicated, together with the team that was conducting the investigation, briefed me about the status of where they are on the Who Am I Online. And then the second part of the agenda, as I said, with regard to the annual report, for people here who have worked on the audit, who have all the details around it. So that's how, Chair, we would propose we deal with your two items on today's agenda. But firstly, the point I was raising is firstly to get clarity on what was written on the request for the meeting, whether it was intended to be a providing of additional information to us, as indicated in the notice for the meeting, or is there something in addition to that?
Yes. No, thank you very much, Makitu. Obviously, I think it's correct that we haven't received the letter on the July the 7th from the Auditor General requesting a meeting with the committee and for committee to provide further information to help him in his investigation. I think that's the purpose of this, and I think it will be correct that I've already written to the office of the Auditor General and suggested a number of issues that I think the Auditor General should look at. But in my letter, I then said that there may be other issues that members of the committee will want to raise with the Auditor General. Therefore, I think we can, in fact, give opportunity to members. I've distributed the letter to members. They've looked at the issues that we have raised. But again, it will be important to hear from your side as to how far, what's happening with the process. Because while we're busy awaiting the investigation and the outcome, we realize that the contract has been signed by the Department of Home Affairs and with more cost than in fact what we're even querying ourselves. So I would believe that whatever the Auditor General is doing is something that is going to be resolved as soon as possible, in fact, because if the department is proceeding as if nothing is happening with this particular project. And that's my concern, in fact, as a chair. So, but therefore, I think we can sort of look at, I mean, I don't even hear you confirming that you have received what I wrote to the AG's office. Maybe they have not briefed you of the two-page thing that you have just sent. I think, yeah, having acknowledged that, I think either we can sort of hear what's happening with regard to the investigation and how far are you, and then from there allow members, having looked at what I proposed and what your terms of reference are, and then maybe members can look at some additions that they may want to add, and then maybe get a report as to when this investigation will come to sort of a conclusion, when we expect to get the report as Parliament with regard to this investigation.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me deal with the status of the investigation as it is now. And this is based on a progress report which was written by our specialized audit services unit a week ago. Chair, they have started the investigation within the office of the AG on the WhoAmI online. And in the process of executing the procedures that they have identified as important in answering the questions that were raised in the terms of reference that came from Home Affairs, they have come to a point now where we are, where quite a lot of documentation from the department has not been forthcoming. That's the critical thing that has stalled the process now. And in the update report that they've given me, they've indicated that a number of requests were made for additional information that they needed, particularly in areas around assessing how, for example, the build documentation was compiled. There's a number of documents they've requested which they have not yet received. In the area of the evaluation of the responses to the bid request, there's also certain documents that they have requested which have not come forth. So in essence, what our specialized audit services unit that was doing this investigation has done some work, but they have not come to any conclusion on most of the areas that they have been investigating. And the only reason for that is because the documentation, and I've got a listing of areas that they've requested information on where they have not received the information. And the latest amongst them, Mr. Chair, is, and I think this is the critical one which they've asked me to highlight, is the fact that the unavailability of this information, among others, and they've made mention of a person who was responsible for the overseeing of the tender process around the OMI online, who is no longer with the department. And in the aftermath of the departure of this person, they have hit problems with finding documentation that was supposedly in his possession. So the latest, as far as the Who Am I Online, basically, is that we have done some work, and the unit that is doing this work in the audit has indicated that they would like to complete this exercise possibly before the end of this year, for as long as that documentation is outstanding, this investigation will not proceed forward. And that's the status as it is, Chair. And in the documentation that they sent to me when they briefed me on it, among other things, for example, is documentation to provide evidence on things like how the committee that was going to compile the business case specifications was put together. Those are some of the issues that they are looking for, as a specific example. To say, if we are to assess whether the committee that is doing the evaluation of the business case that gave rise to the need for Who Am I Online, in the absence of that documentation, for us to be able to look at, it is difficult to make a conclusion around whether that process was carried out in accordance with supply chain management processes. Another area, among others, that I might need to mention is a documentation that provides proof where things like a needs analysis, identification, and award of the project was done. So those are the type of evidence that this team is looking for, which up to now they have not yet received. However, I think since the last time that they, I don't know if they did brief you, but what had happened is there was also some documentation that they requested from CETA, and they have had engagements and discussions with Mr. Peter Pedler, and they did receive a lot of the information that they requested on that side. So what is currently happening now is, in order for them to conclude on the full investigation, to be able to give a full report to the committee, they need to access, among others, the documentation that I've indicated in order for them to perform the procedures around what was defined in the terms of reference. So that is the status as far as that is concerned, Chair. And then the other area which they've also asked me to highlight to the committee was specific questions that were raised in the letter. In the letter of 1 October, the letter that was just now distributed, certain of the questions that were raised, they have managed to engage with the senior officials within the entire environment and have been able to answer some of those questions. I can just run through some of the answers that they've dealt with in terms of the specific questions that were raised.
Which questions are those ones? No. I think that's what you call. Let me put it in this way. That we have raised this question to form part of the investigation that will give us the report. Let us not attempt to give us any answer into those issues now, because we expect a full report to come. What we have done is an addition of what the AG has requested. As what you call to do, right? Now, what we should maybe do, it's clear to me that we're not getting anywhere much with regard to, you know, lack of documentation and all of that. But my biggest problem is that this project is being signed into operation on the 10th of July. Hardly 3 days after the Auditor General wrote to Parliament. Now, the issue is, if the project is just carrying on like nothing has happened, and the concern I have is that this project is no longer even in the amount that we're hearing as Parliament. It has now tripled that amount. And what I wanted to hear this morning will be from the Auditor General's report or briefing with the committee this morning to say, we have put together a team, correct as you have said, this is where we are with regard to investigation. Correctly, what you have saying that we are still awaiting the documentation and all of that. This investigation will be concluded by this month or by this day. Expect the report as Parliament and all of that. You know, this is what we want to hear, because they, you see, we're dealing with taxpayers' money here, and there is no way that Parliament can say that we suspect that things are not right. And it's no longer a question of we suspect, because the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister, the then Minister of Public Service and Administration, were part of a meeting that took place between the committee and CETA. And in that meeting, they were exposed to what the committee has been saying. It was not followed. So by now, I think we're supposed to be getting, because if the DG of Home Affairs signs the project, he himself has satisfied every single documentation is in place. Whatever that the Auditor General will be calling for, that information Home Affairs must provide. Because 3 days immediately when the terms of reference have been identified, put together, the department signs the watch call, signs the project. It means that they are in possession of every single documentation. What is disturbing is to get the AG's office saying that we have been asking for this information is not coming forward from Home Affairs. What informs them to have signed that project when there's no information? So maybe let me maybe give members, if there's anything that members want to say, but I think the area in which we should work at will be an area that says our time frame with regard to this investigation, this is where we are. We're at phase one, whatever, collecting of documentation. Phase two will be at this time, and then we'll conclude at this point in time. I know sometimes you may not expect, you know, to meet your target, but you are working on a particular, you know, time frame. Because my worry is one again. The second one is that this parliament very soon will be going to elections. And this parliament may cease to exist, this parliament. And it may be a deliberate attempt by those who are trying to cover up on this project, that things would happen in a particular way, very slowly. So that it, because, you know, we have even struggled to get this meeting of the portfolio committee to take place. And it's one thing that I'm saying as the chair of this portfolio committee, that we want to make sure that by the time, end of this year, this investigation is concluded. In fact, I would give members of the committee, because especially now that you're saying that there's a problem with documentation from Home Affairs, I think members will have to say something around those issues. Because there's no way that will allow a situation that when there's an investigation, documentation cannot come forward, but people are proceeding, signing the contract, and in fact, we triple the amount of that contract, and we sort of say that we'll await and await and await and await when things are not going well. So let me give members of the committee an opportunity maybe to comment on what you have said, Babu, what's called the Magistrate, and then from there we can then maybe look at what is the recommendation of the committee and what will be the way forward. Without, in fact, hampering on your investigation, we don't want to be seen to be investigators ourselves. We've already given you the issues that we think you should look at, you know, and respect that particular one. So let me start with Kojima Tere, followed by taking your motion, and Mr. Long.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Doctor. My question would be, because the office of the AG here says, due to the person having left the department, they are unable to can access the document. When has the person left the department? Was it before they signed that contract or after? Was that something that we should have established? I don't think they can proceed with the signing of the contract when there are some documents which are missing. So it's clear that there's something here which is really not going on well. I mean, if that person left the department and those documents cannot be found, why did they proceed with the contract? It's impossible. And if they have proceeded with the contract, it means they have got all the relevant information. There is no way that they can sign the contract when some of the information is missing. So this is something that we should really follow. And make sure that you obtain those documents. Because they are there. It's not that they are not there. They are hiding something from the department.
And this question of the escalation of this amount from 1.8 to 4 point something, really something has to be explained here. We were previous 1.8, but suddenly it has risen to 4 point something. How possible? But here documents are missing, but the money is able to rise. Why can it escalate if they don't have some of the information? So this is something very serious that we need to look into. I don't think this report really satisfies us. It's like we are not getting any report really. We haven't done anything with due respect from the office of the AG. Really, we are not satisfied. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just take the line? Let me give you my material.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is a follow-up on what Koshi has just said. When a person is in the office, they cannot find the documents. Was this person working, taking the work home where they can't find? Because I'm definitely sure that if you work in the office, the documents remain in the office. Even if you are not in the office, the documents will be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also add to what my colleague has said, Chairperson. Really, we are not happy the manner in which this thing is handled. In addition, Chairperson, to the question you have wrote to the AG's office, as Portfolio Committee Chairperson, we want to establish whether the tendering process were free and fair and equitable and transparent and competitive and cost effective. Number two, Chairperson.
Those are your additions into.
Yes.
It's making additions.
Yes.
These are the additions that you are making to the entry. Just keeping up what you're saying. Okay. But if we have covered those things, obviously.
Yes, Chairperson. Number two, Chairperson, in terms of proper tendering processes, adjudication committee must consist of senior official from Home Affairs, senior official from Department of Finance, senior official from Public Service and Admin, an independent accountant. That committee must be chaired by a representative from legal fraternity under normal circumstances, Chairperson. We want to know whether, with regard to this, who am I online, this process were followed. Number four, Chairperson, whether the opening of the bids and shortlisting was free and fair. And also, Chairperson, whether the evaluation processes were according to the Constitution, which requires to be free and fair. And also, Chairperson, whether the bid adjudication committee appointed the evaluation committee. And again, Chairperson, whether the adjudication committee appointed the specification committee, which is required by the law. And also, Chairperson, after all phase one up to phase five, in terms of proper regulation and the laws, Chairperson, the Auditor General must check compliance to all the phases. We want to know the role played by the Auditor General in this project, Chairperson. And lastly, Chairperson, coming to the issue of escalating of the price, in terms of the law, Chairperson, any changes
must be approved by Parliament. And any changes in terms of treasury regulation, it must be approved by treasury, whether those stages have been adhered to. Thank you, Chairperson.
So those were the additions, I believe, from members of the committee, and some of the issues that were raised were concerns, but that need further engagement, obviously, with the AG when you deal with the issues. But those were the additions that the members are making as required, requested by the Auditor General, that is requiring further information from members of the committee. I think it's what Jose Muramuchi has done. Law, can I give you a sense?
Thank you very much indeed, Chairperson. Chairperson, through you, firstly, just the Office of the Auditor General, thank you very much indeed for the presentation and for being here this morning. Chairperson, I think you're going to find that you'll have a really multi-party agreement on this matter, certainly from my side, from the Democratic Alliance. Without having some of the details that perhaps some of your colleagues have got, we share your absolute concern about what is going on here. It's perhaps an indication of why we get disclaimer of opinions in the audit report, which we will deal with later. It's one of the reasons that we were so concerned. Chairperson, as to what we do about this matter, because as you correctly said, I think it was in July, we met with the then Minister of Public Service Commission, and with our own Minister of Home Affairs. Some very direct questions were asked and answered, and quite frankly, we haven't had any answers. It's one of the reasons why the public sees the Department of Home Affairs in the disarray that it's in. Chairperson, I want to strongly support your view that we need to have a direct interaction with the department. I think with the minister herself, she was at that meeting in July, and quite frankly, I don't think she's showing enough concern from her own side as to what's going on. We've certainly seen nothing to indicate that she's in any manner concerned, either about the disclaimer of opinion or about what's going on in the department. So I would urge that we perhaps through the office of the speaker ensure that we have a meeting of this committee, Chairperson. I know there's supposed to be legislation before we can have a meeting. I think we need to engage with the speaker and have a meeting as soon as possible with the minister, the director general, and the auditor general, and let's get these matters on the table and get some answers. Chairperson, you know, I think your point about the treasury is also very important. At this stage, I'd like to just relook at the matter, but I think there are serious questions to be asked about whether we don't get the treasury involved, certainly in running the finances of the Department of Home Affairs. When matters of internal control simply aren't met and their basic financial systems aren't in place, after such a long time of the turnaround strategy being in place for over a year now, with the DG and the Minister engaging with us, telling us that matters are all right, and they don't appear to be, I think you're quite correct, Chairperson. There's some serious question about whether we ask the Treasury to step in and manage the department. But I certainly would urge that as soon as possible, we meet with the Minister, the Department of Home Affairs, DG, and the Auditor General, possibly as soon as next week, and if we need the Speaker's authority to do so, I will certainly join your party and ask that we go and do it together.
Join the Viva AFC. Viva AFC.
Which faction, Chairman?
No. There's only one AFC. Okay. I'll give you, Jose. Is that a follow-up, Jose? Don't make a follow-up.
Yes.
Let's give Jose a follow-up, and then from there, Inka will sort of come in. But I think one of the things, for members, is I'm not saying comrades, because Lowe says he's joining the NC now. What we must do is that we're still going to receive a report on the annual report of the department. And I think we have done an analysis of the annual report, which I've distributed probably to members. Ourselves, but we'll then further engage with Auditor General and his findings, and you'll be able to share with us openly what are the challenges. And out of that, that's why we'll have to really agree on the engagement. We'll be meeting with the department tomorrow on those issues, though, and then I think we might be able to sort of make a recommendation after that meeting as to what we suggest as Parliament now.
No, I'm okay now. We're meeting with the
tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow. Chairperson, I made a follow-up with regard to issues we raised with the Auditor General's office. To say, Chairperson, pending the investigation by the Auditor General, this project must stop, Chairperson. That's our proposal, Chairperson. They can't continue meanwhile the Auditor General is going to investigate whether the compliance was
done properly. Thank you, Chair.
Sure, thanks, Chair. I would also...
No, Chair. I thought they were going to answer so as we can come.
Okay.
I think already we have sort of agree with what is the watch call. Hosi is putting a proposal here. And this proposal, I just want to hear Hosi Matebotin so that we can then come back to this proposal.
Yes, Chair. I would also like the Auditor General to check as to whether there has been any activity between the department and the commander that was awarded the contract before the contract was signed. If there has been any activity between the two. And also to check whether the people who are the immediate superiors to the person who have left the department, were they not taken on board in this process? Because obviously he can't be working alone. He should be reporting to someone. So why now, if he has left, then the person which was reporting to is not able to retrieve the information? And lastly, I agree with the proposal of the Honorable Khoshi. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's get the... I'm not sure that we'll be able to sort of deal with all the issues at the go, but clearly what was, you know, happening this morning with regard to this issue was to further input into the investigation and the concern that members already have raised. And what the Auditor General's Office has reported with regard to documentation that is lacking led to this proposal that Khosi is now putting forward, which is being seconded by a Khosi Matebe, meaning that I know that the Auditor General may not have either powers, I don't know if he does have powers to stop the project, but tomorrow we will be meeting with the department tomorrow, and I think we need to take further this position that Khosi has taken. We need to make a report to Parliament and then make a recommendation to Parliament, an urgent recommendation to Parliament, that the view of the committee, having met with the Office of the Auditor General this morning, having received an update with regard to the investigation of the UMMI online, the view of the committee will be that the project be stopped while the investigation continues and be suspended while the investigation continues. And I think one of the things that we should do will be to agree that by the end of November, the Auditor General must be able to give Parliament a full report of this matter. Not knowing how is the program of Parliament with regard to committee sitting, but I'll believe that we still have an opening somewhere in November where we'll definitely request the Auditor General to come and give us a full report of their investigation while the project has been stopped.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's just a matter I forgot to mention, and you having raised the question of stopping the matter until we get a full report, which I would support. But one of the things we need to be concerned about is there's a general election to be held next year. And the whole question of the Home Affairs role in the general election, the Who Am I Online, the work of the IEC could be affected by all of this. So while I would certainly support you that we ask them if they don't do any further work at this stage, we need to just be aware of the fact that we actually need to get things working and working very quickly so that by March, April, May, or whatever next year, we actually have a Home Affairs department that can manage the general election, which could be a major problem. Thank you.
Alright, Babu, good.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just at the outset, the update I was giving is very clearly about the status of where we are. It's not yet a report. A complete report of the AG will only be possible once we have satisfied ourselves with all the issues that the committee members have raised, as well as what we have identified as the minimum procedures that we need to perform in order to give an answer to what gave rise to the investigation. So on our side, if the date is set to be the end of November, we will achieve that date as long as we get the information that will lead to the report. And I think it's important to highlight that, because the custodian of the information that we need to evaluate is not us. We are not the custodians of that information. We are dependent entirely on those that are custodians of the information. And the reason we were asked to do this was to go and access this information so that we can give an independent view based on our evaluation as auditors. Until such time that we have access to that information, our hands are tied. We will have access to the officials in the department and ask them what we need to see in order to come up to a conclusion and an audit report. But if we are not having access to that information, it is impossible to make a report. I think it's important to distinguish that, because I'm highlighting this because I also got a sense that either we might be seen to be delaying this, because one member said it's unacceptable, this report from the auditor. It's not our, it's not a report yet. It's just an update on the status as to where we are. So what I can say here is that the procedures that need to be performed, I can perhaps just highlight one area. For example, in the area of evaluating the bid process, there's a whole step of documents that we need to look at and examine to check whether there was or there was no conflict, to check whether there was a declaration of interest in the event that there may be a conflict, for example. Until we see a document that points us in the direction of those areas, we are not going to be able to report. So I think the critical thing here is to say those that have custody of the information that we need to look at must make it available so that we can conclude the investigation that we are doing. And on our side, Chair, what we can say and commit ourselves to is that the end of November reporting date will not be difficult if all the things that we've already asked are forthcoming.
Maybe what we should do, for Margaret, is that tomorrow in our meeting with the department, we will raise this issue with regard to a request for documentation. But again, we'll put across our position as we have resolved as a portfolio committee. And what we have resolved will, in fact, make a report that will go to Parliament regarding the decision that we have taken. And then in that, what's called a decision, we will, in fact, request the department to provide that any other documentation, and we'll give them a time frame. So that, you know, it does not, in fact, hamper your work. Because what they're doing, in fact, to come into the investigation, you'll not be able to move if they're not responding to your request. So either it's deliberate or, you know, whatever. But we'll be able to deal with that. On that note, members, with regard to this issue, I think we will then close it without input made by HOSI with regards to our position, but we have made further input into the AG's investigation, informed by what PFMA says and all the necessary rules that govern procurement in this country. Therefore, I think we are in line with what we have agreed with the AG that we'll be able to make further input. Now, on that note, then, we will then have to move to the second agenda item, which is the annual report of the department. The annual report was tabled, in fact, as early as, I think it was in September. The only problem, again, has been that of portfolio committees not being able to meet, obviously, because of the parliamentary, what you call a processes. There was an attempt from the AG side to meet with chairpersons of committees at some point to brief them on the annual report and all of that, and that meeting did not take place. So we are now having to deal with this thing, this annual report today, and we'll give you an opportunity now just to take us through your findings. with regard to the annual report that has been presented to Parliament. And your input, obviously, it will help us a lot, because when we meet with the department tomorrow, we'll be engaging on the same issues with them, and it will be able to help us as we do our oversight to be able to understand the issues, the challenges, and the problems, and so that the committee of Parliament can then make necessary recommendations. We've done it before. We called for the intervention task team. We supported the minister on that, and the intervention task team came and it went. The turnaround team, we supported that. We've spent billions and billions of rand, and it seems that we are still stuck in one area. So let's give you an opportunity now to take us to your findings of the report.
Thank you, Chair, members. I refer you to the annual report, and I refer you specifically to the report of the Auditor General to Parliament on the financial statements and performance information for Department of Home Affairs for the year ended 31 March 2008. Chair, taking you through our findings, our areas of concern was the Departmental Revenue and Receivables, and I'm going to give you an overview of what the key issues were with regard to revenue and receivables. There was lack of supporting documentation. There was delays in the recording of transactions. There was lack of a clear and proper audit trail. Okay.
Because you can refer to the, you have the inside the.
Yes.
Unless it's your
The lack of a clear and proper audit trial, the lack of clearing of accounts, and a breakdown in internal controls and circumvention of controls. Now, that's the overall summary of the paragraph that refers to revenue and receivables. Basically, what we are saying here is we had six key areas with revenue and receivables, ranging from the supporting documentation being a key crucial issue, the delay of the recording of the transactions, and the lack of clearing of accounts, etc. That is with regard to the revenue. If we go to the next paragraph, which is paragraph 7 of the document, of our report, we see that there was also an issue on the debt receivable account not balancing with the corresponding account of the accrual account. Now, this was due to a lack of recon performed during the financial year, a lack of the clearing of these accounts on a timely basis, and the accounts not balancing at year end, and proper processes not taking place to actually rectify that. Next paragraph that dealt with capital assets. Chair, on the capital assets, the key issue here was that the asset register was not complete in totality at year-end when we actually conducted the audit, which then led to us not being able to verify a lot of the assets as reflected in the asset register. Material number of these assets that were acquired did not have supporting documentation, and these were for assets that were acquired subsequent to April 2002. The vehicles that belonged to government garage, which is part of the Department of Transport, was actually recorded in the department's asset register, and hence incorrect assets been recorded on the asset register of the department. And the assets that were recorded at a cost of 246 million in the asset register included work in progress assets of 125 million were not all supported again by appropriate invoices and documentation. Internet usage expenses to the value of 11 million were incorrectly classified as an asset. That should actually have related to your expenditure and not an asset line. Computer hardware was actually recorded as intangible assets. And 29 million then was capitalized to intangible assets. However, the description on your invoices was not sufficient to assess the classification of that. Also in the assets, we had a CPI adjustment, foreign exchange adjustment, and retention fees to the value of 53 million, which was actually capitalized to the asset register, but as a separate asset. So there was a potential that there could have been duplication of assets there. Because it should have actually been capitalized to the line assets that it's actually referring to. Chair, overall on assets, what we said is there was a lack of a complete asset register. I'm giving you a high-level summary again. Assets, as recorded, could not be verified. There was a lack of proper documentation for recording purposes and a lack of supporting documentation. And there was incorrect classification of transactions. So if we go to the next paragraph on leases, the next item dealt with the leases. So on the leases, we were not presented with a complete list of all the leases that the department had entered into, and four leases to the value of 45 million, we were not presented with the list, and we could not be presented with proper contracts for those leases amounting to 45 million. Overall summary on leases, Chair, there was a lack of proper records, reconciliation and supporting documentation. The next paragraph dealt with cash and cash equivalents. On cash and cash equivalents, the key issue here is the non-clearing of the suspense accounts. The non-clearing of the suspense accounts actually led to amounts being reflected for the financial year, where we could not actually get proper reconciliation, and hence we could not actually ascertain the validity of some of those transactions. So again here, overall summary, lack of clearing of suspense accounts and supporting documentation. The next one is on the payables. So here again, it's on the suspense accounts clearing. There was a lack of reconciliation and lack of clearing of suspense accounts. And also remember, if there's a lack of clearing of suspense accounts, this affects one of your treasury regulations, which requires you to ensure that suspense accounts are cleared on a regular basis. So it's also contravention of the treasury regulations. On this issue, broad summary, we're saying again, lack of recons, clearing of suspense accounts. Next paragraph dealt with the expenditure lines. Here we dealt with government garage expenditure. This is for the use of vehicles that is provided by the government garage. And we were unable to obtain sufficient documentation to satisfy ourselves on the payments made to government garage for the use of those vehicles. This amounted to 76 million. Overall summary on the government garage expenditure issue is a lack of control over documentation and supporting documentation for payments. So on the next paragraph, it deals with your foreign allowances, which constitutes 99 million rand. Of a total balance of 198 million rand, which was represented by a non-pensionable allowance. Chair, here we were not provided with sufficient documentation again to actually satisfy ourselves with the 99 million relating to foreign allowances. overall summary, again, lack of documentation and classification, potential classification errors. So,
can I just add something, Chair, just to amplify a point that Kivesh raised around the cash and cash equivalents? And I think it's important to contextualize this aspect, where we are saying here that there is total credit of 20.89 million, which could not be cleared from the suspense account. What typically happens is this is an amount that has come in into the department, but because they are not able to immediately identify where it is being deposited from and for what purpose, what it means is that they're sitting with this cash in the bank, but they don't know which account to allocate it to, and that's what gives rise to the suspense account. It happens a lot with an environment where there's a multiplicity of transactions, either of small or big amounts. An example, for example, will also be applicable to a medical aid company, where people who are paying in their contributions or they are paying in their shortfall of medical aid, it goes into the bank account, but they struggle to find a reference number in order for them to allocate it. So I think it's important to paint that picture because it's a big balance. But the fact of the matter is that the credit balance, meaning that the cash did come in, rather than money in a bank which are being paid out and nobody knows who they've been paid out to. So I think it's important to put that context, especially with a big credit like that. And it's also clear that this is not a new thing, because 13.375 of that is amounts that arose prior to 1 April 2007, according to what is in the report. So it's an endemic problem of managing cash when it comes into the bank without knowing who deposited it and what.
Thank you, DAG, for the clarification. Chair, those are the key areas, and if we look at those key areas, we are looking at revenue and receivables, capital assets, leases, cash and cash equivalents, payables, expenditure, and if we look at those items, there was the key issues around those items were lack of supporting documentation, reconciliation, and implementation of controls. And if we look at those are the key issues as to what led to the disclaimer for the financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you, and once again to your Auditor General, thank you very much indeed. As a former auditor myself, you don't have to tell me or explain to me how serious these matters are. I really do take them with a great deal of concern. And Chairperson, I think at first we must acknowledge how difficult it is to run certain offices of Home Affairs. Many of us have been to the offices. It's not the easiest thing to try and run a system. But having said that, I mean, when one sees year after year after year, basic errors in putting together a system, whether it's internal control, recording revenues, just basic things that you have to have in place if you're going to run any organisation or business. But Chairperson, it's not there. And I don't believe perhaps that Home Affairs is ever going to be able to put it there, because year after year we have these problems and they don't seem to be able to address them. And one of the reasons I think why people battle to get ID books or passports or work permits or whatever is because the basic financial systems in the department simply aren't working, and there's a crisis there as well. But Chairperson, what I want to do is ask the department, or ask the Auditor General at this stage, whether they believe that my suggestion earlier that perhaps it's time to ask Treasury or some outside body not to deal with the turnaround strategy or getting an ID book or a passport in somebody's hands quickly, but how do we get the financial systems and organization and internal controls right in this department if the minister or the department are not prepared or not able to do something? And I really look to perhaps the Treasury. Maybe they are overstretched, but maybe we can parachute people in like we've done in the Eastern Cape, or perhaps we get an outside body in. But I do believe that until we get the financial and internal control systems really right in this department, I don't think we're ever going to see the results that we need in providing services to the people of South Africa. So my question, Chairperson, is are we onto something? There is it something that can be done? Should it be done, in your opinion? And if so, how can we go about doing that? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, well, the office basically is unable to can give us exactly what is it that is happening in as far as finances are concerned in a department, because of the whether it's lack of documentation or is non-cooperating of civil servants in the office of the Department of Home Affairs, I don't know. But for me, why is this pattern the same in all these other sections? Is it a way of not wanting to give the office information by just pretending or saying that there are no sufficient, there are no documentation that we can give to you, or there are other issues as you are working with this thing that you are observing in the department it's happening, this trend? What will be your advice on this matter? Is it the root of saying let us give it to Treasury maybe for a period of 6 months or 1 year? Or what is it that you can advise a Parliament to do in such situations? Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much for giving me this chance to speak for the very first time in this portfolio committee on Home Affairs. Chair, I just want to say indeed what has been raised by the Auditor General's report raised a grave concern for this department. But in essence, if for instance the department is not performing accordingly like this, what can be done? Like Honorable Skosana has just asked that question. How best can the AG assist the department so that it can perform better? And again, what I want to ask is as to whether the internal audit in terms of this issues being raised by the Auditor General, is it allowed so that maybe the department can improve at a certain point? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, here on our 9 here is talking about capital asset register, which was unable to be found. I just want to know, how can people work without having an asset register? How will you know that your things are up to date? Thank you.
One of the things that we must not put the AG based on the responsibility of the Auditor General. The Auditor General goes there, audit the books, informed by the documentation that must be provided to the AG, and then failing to which, obviously, the AG gives his opinion. And the opinion that we have received is this one here. And I think this call from members that is coming out is the frustration that members are going through. Because if you are to understand that this is the third disclaimer of the Department of Home Affairs, third disclaimer. Therefore, the first one we called for some intervention where Treasury and the Public Service and Administration deployment into the department, and it made the recommendations, and they started to work to resolve some of the issues, and they left. And when they left, the whole thing collapsed, and you have new people coming in again, working without even following. Because if you had to follow what the intervention task team has made the recommendations, the internal control is one of the most critical areas that they have raised. But clearly, there's no follow-up from Home Affairs. and it then collapsed. We have the second the same opinion again. We have now what we call the turnaround team in the department. And this turnaround team in the department, we are spending almost R1 billion to pay them to turn around the Department of Home Affairs. In the current financial year, we are passing, I think we have allocated over R500 million that goes to the turnaround team to turn around the Department of Home Affairs. The problem is that, and we have the new Director General that we have deployed there, CFO, whatever. But it's clear to me that we are not winning. It's clear, not to me alone, but to the members of the committee, and the questions that members start to ask the Auditor General, that in your, you have given your opinion, obviously, but in your view, what would be the solution? Now, members, I'm saying that, you know, I know that the Auditor General will obviously, office will respond to the issues, but I think it's something that will need us again as this committee. After tomorrow's meeting with the department, not even after tomorrow's meeting, immediately in that engagement with the department, to answer the question that they, Wendy and Bobus Kosana have asked, and the recommendation that is coming from law, where do we go? You see, where do we go? Because the AG is trying his level best, obviously, to really deal with whatever documentation that is being provided for by the department, and he's giving us his opinion here. And we can't go further than that. We can't go further than that unless you create your own invoices somewhere in the corner there. and I think what is critical here is to appreciate the work that has been done by those gentlemen, you know, of raising these issues to Parliament. Because it's Parliament that passes this budget to say, you department, we give you R3 billion, R4 billion, go and do this following based on the strategic objective that they have set themselves to achieve. And it's Parliament again, that when these things are not done, it's Parliament that must come back and say, we have given you this amount of money for the past 3 years, this is what you have been doing, therefore we recommend either we take the route that law has proposed, either we look at any other route that we may want to propose. You know, so that, you know, in whatever that we are doing, it's in line with, because clearly there's no compliance. There's no compliance, I mean, as said by the Auditor General, there's no compliance of anything in the department. There's no compliance. They're not compliant with anything. They run like even the stock fair, people that run stock fairs, they are very organized in this country. I have a stock fair, a family stock fair, that every month we donate R50. And it's about 50 families. Every month, R50. And I'm telling you that I have a sister that follows every family to make sure that every month they have made a payment to the bank. And we get a bank statement. And every month when that stock fair meets, there's a financial statement that is being tabled. And that sister of mine is not even a qualified auditor. Just an ordinary sister of mine. But I'm saying how stock fairs are organized compared to what you'll find in the Department of Home Affairs. And when we raise these things, it said that this portfolio committee is intervening, this portfolio committee, and it's our work as members of parliament. It's our work as members of parliament to do this oversight and accountability and to make necessary recommendations. So the call that is made by comrades members here, it's not just a call because members just want to dispose. Members are frustrated about this home affairs that is failing to turn around. And there's no one who wants to be in charge here and really take ownership of the mess that you see. But I think what we'll do with the issues that they've raised, maybe then Babuskazan and Law, let's tomorrow after the meeting with the department really have a particular recommendation that was made. This is taxpayers' money, by the way. This is money that's supposed to go in building better life for our people that the ANC stand for and believe in so much, and we are not able to meet that what you call because of this kind of thing. So therefore, I'm saying that you may respond that we have that responsibility as Parliament to really come in and do our level best mandated by the Constitution of the Republic of this country. Because we cannot afford this thing anymore as Parliament. We can't afford it anymore.
You can come in, Baba, and sort of
together with your team. I think what you have shared with the committee, in fact, is the same report as the last financial year and the last financial year. It's almost the same. Because if you were to look at the issues that you are raising here, are the same issues that you have dealt with in the last financial year and the previous one again. But the issue is that we have people that are deployed to deal with these issues here. One of the things we have a turnaround, that team at some point will have to come in Parliament and tell us the money that we are paying them, what is it that they're doing, together with the Director General. Because they're not even reporting the political executive. You can see that there's a problem. They're not complying with what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm saying that, members, we are having this responsibility as this committee to do this work. But then, Jim, let me give you to sort of sum up and sort of come to the conclusion of these issues, and then members can then go back and prepare themselves. I think they have already laid the foundation on the issues for you.
Thank you very much, Chair. again, I think consistent with our mandate as the office of the AG, what members have said here in terms of the committee getting the opportunity to engage with the department on the detailed plan, I think it's correct. On our side, all the issues that impact on financial administration and governance, we have highlighted, we have put it in the report, and we have discussed them with the leadership in the department. And I think what really is key, perhaps as the Chair has correctly summarized it, is that the next level of engagement needs to be between the committee, which is charged with oversight over the department, to really go to the detail of what exactly are the action plans that are in place, both in the short and the long term. We will not be in a position to engage with that aspect of it, because ours really is ready to go in and say, if an asset register is not in place, and there's an amount recorded in the books of account, it means that we have a transaction that took place, but further down the line in the future, if we were to go and look for that asset, we may have no leg to stand on because the asset register is not there. Those are the kind of issues that we are limited to highlight if we find that there are those deficiencies in systems of internal control. And then again, the other one which was raised by another member regarding the area of internal audit. We think that there's no doubt, I think, an internal audit intervention that's there at Home Affairs. It is probably one of the areas which we have highlighted also in our summary of the general report that we produce every year, which says, among other things, a lot of the weaknesses that arise in some of the institutions that we audit arise because on an ongoing basis, the people who are supposed to exercise oversight as an internal audit unit either have not yet shaped up or require to be given a lot more opportunity to engage with the internal environment in the department. That's the second one. The third one, which we think will also assist towards the improvement, I think some of these processes that happen in areas like Home Affairs generally are complex in the sense that not complex in the sense that they are by their nature complex, but transactions take place in so many locations throughout the country. And one of the issues that we've highlighted in our general report is to say, is it not better, among others, to consider moving towards a situation where you don't just have a set of annual financial statements once at the end of the financial year? Because it is at that critical time at the end of the financial year that you are likely to stumble into the problems that have been accumulating during the year. Is it not yet about time now to say, why would some of the departments that have struggled not, for example, report even internally without producing financial statements, but report on the financial situation and status of reconciliation, let's say on a quarterly or half-yearly basis as a discipline, so that as things arise, at least it is known that between the period of 1 April and the end of June, these were the issues that need to be dealt with, so that those small chunks of big problems are dealt with more frequently during the year. Because one of the problems which I think contributes to some of the financial reporting challenges is the fact that most institutions produce a set of financial statements once, and there's only one opportunity to try and deal with a multiplicity of problems that have arisen at different stages during the year. To the extent that in some areas where people have got big vacancies, they struggle to go back and find out where did this arise. So those are some of the things from our side, limited to the area of financial management and financial accountability, that we think could be areas to explore, you know, to say to National Treasury or to the Accountant General, is it not about time that we look at managing financial reporting differently? I think those are some of the issues for the Chair, which from our side we have highlighted even in the previous years, roadshows that we've done in the general report, to say those are the key disciplines which we've seen in other jurisdictions that have helped improve financial management. And I'm sure the people who are managing the activities in the department can reflect on some of these things to see whether they can be able to implement or drive them. That's the limited input I can give, Chair, as an outsider. I guess that the portfolio committee will be better placed to go deeper into some of the issues that they might want to engage the department.
Members, I know that there are a lot of issues that members who still want to engage around. So you can then begin to prepare yourself. Your engagement with the who's the department, the salesman who's to the department full time, like who have been working on the department.
On the audit.
Yeah, on the audit. You have been working with the audit committee of the department, the internal audit committee of the department.
Yeah.
And then it does reflect in the report of your working. Then. Yeah, that's fine. Members, we need then to prepare ourselves for tomorrow's meeting, meaning that don't only look at these issues here, but just go through the entire report. In it, you still have the GPW, which you have not dealt with. And again, they are going through the same problems as they've been going through for years. Now, members can then engage on this report tomorrow. I will believe that members will have relevant questions that we want to pose to the department. And then we can sort of make our own final recommendation. Last time it was the minister and we supported the recommendation of the intervention task team. And this time, I think Parliament is supposed to be very proactive now. With regard to the resolution, with regard to the issue of Whom Am I Online, I thought that we will draft something that we must send to Parliament. The portfolio committee, having met with the office of the Auditor General, represented by Mapetu on this day in the morning, having received a report with regard to the investigation on Whom Am I Online and the lack of documentation that is coming forward from the Department of Home Affairs, the portfolio committee hereby, you know, a resolve, one that the project, Whom Am I Online project of the Department of Home Affairs, must be immediately stopped until finalization of the investigation, and that the department should, within 7 days, provide all documentation requested by the Auditor General to conclude or to proceed with this investigation on the project. I think we'll draft that and we'll just put it together for you, and then I think we can send it out. Okay?
Please.
On that note, thank you very much, Chief, and really appreciate your time. And
members will. So we'll then send this recommendation of the committee to Parliament. Now, it must go to the office of the Speaker of Parliament. Okay?
Now.
Members, I'm told that 1 o'clock lunch has been arranged, and so I don't spend much today. And the AG's office, if you are around the building here, there's lunch arranged at 1 o'clock.
So you,
yeah, just here. So you can join us for lunchtime. Don't spend your lunch money.
Probably I'll just sit down.